Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Now let me ask you a quick question. How many listening to this presentation do an outstanding job of managing their time? Well, the answer is very few. You've been to the seminars and you've read the books, but those techniques that you learned 10 years ago simply don't seem to apply to today's world. Today, there are massive amounts of information facing every entrepreneur, and the rate is accelerating. The time management tools of the past simply don't apply. This presentation will cover five new ways to better manage your time in today's environment. Today's presenter is well known to our listeners. Jeff Davidson is the author of dozens of books, including Breather Space, Simpler Living, and The 60-Second Organizer. Jeff has also provided several programs for this, our small business series, in the past. Now, to begin the time management process, find a comfortable chair, get a cool drink, grab a notebook and pen, and take a deep breath. You have now begun the process of time management. Now, let's listen to what Jeff has to say.
Time management strategies for entrepreneurs. This is Jeff Davidson, and we're going to cover how to get more done in less time while freeing yourself up for new initiatives. Right off the bat, the first question I have for you is, why time management for entrepreneurs, for contractors, for service contractors? Didn't you already read dozens of books in your career or see numerous articles on time management? Haven't you already attended all kinds of seminars and workshops and general sessions? Haven't you already batted around the principles of time management time and time again over the course of your career? Of course you have. So why in this day and age, at this moment, on this day, at this particular time, are you listening to a program on time management? Well, many reasons actually. But three that are chief to our message today include that the pace of new information, let's be frank here, is absolutely daunting, and it's accelerating. I'll get into exactly why and exactly why it's important to know the root causes of the time pressure we all face before we're able to come up with effective solutions. A second reason why time management still is important in this day and age is that traditional time management as we know it has diminishing effects. And so the time management we're going to talk about in this session represents some progressive, far-reaching, forward-thinking kinds of maneuvers. And we're going to forsake much of what we learned about time management over the years. We'll see why that will be necessary. Third, there are actually a lot of resources when it comes to addressing the hardcore issues of the daily pressures and responsibilities and deadlines that you face. But surprisingly, after all these years, and I've been looking for a long time, there's very little that addresses the nitty-gritty of what it takes to get things done in an era where more information comes at us in a day than we can comfortably ingest. Sometimes more information in an hour comes at us than we could ingest in a whole day. So, three fundamental reasons why effective time management for the over-information age is still necessary. Now, there are five things that will help you to more efficiently manage your time. In other words, five strategies, and I'm going to walk through each one in detail after first announcing them. The importance of starting right where you are has to be number one. In other words, recognizing that if your desk is a mess, If your business records are all over creation, if your truck, if your equipment, if your tools, if everything that you use to generate income is not exactly in the best condition or where it ought to be organized, hey, you've got to start someplace, and we're going to start right where you are. That's très important. We're also going to talk about undertaking what I call Operation Clean Sweep, which is the high art of filing, but not making too much out of it. In other words, I'm going to show you a very quick way to stack up everything and deal with it once and for all. The third item we're going to look at is managing the beforehand and what I call managing completion thinking. Managing beforehand and managing completion thinking. So let's start with the value of completion thinking and bring you right to your desk, right to your office, or your car if you happen to be listening as you're driving along. These days, you pick up a book on time management or productivity or anything else related to the topic, and they give you all these plans, all these formulas, all kinds of rules and guidelines, all kinds of stuff you can be doing. The problem is you assemble all this, you put it in a file where you have all your other stuff, or you park it someplace, you never get back to it, it never actually becomes actualized, you never be able to put it into play, and you're back where you started. What's worse is so many resources and references on the topic of time management don't address the reality of what you're up against today. The reality of what you're up against today is more coming at you every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year for your career, for the duration of your business, than you can comfortably ingest. The reality is that all of us are in a perpetual state of overwhelm, and it's not our individual failings. I want to emphasize that. It is indeed the age in which we live. Everyone who runs a business, every entrepreneur, whether you're in some form of contracting, service contracting, whatever you do today, if you're running your own business, by definition, you're swamped with more competing for your time and attention. Every place you turn, you have more stuff, you have more piles, you have more messages, and dealing with this stuff represents minutes or hours in terms of your being able to respond. So accepting current reality is the only logical way to begin. And the current reality is we are all swamped. Now, the only way to take control of your time, given that we're all swamped, given that your desk may be a mess, that your email inbox may be a mess, is to one by one begin to take control of these various areas. So what if things are in less than perfect condition? That's okay. And it doesn't matter whether you have a staff of 1, 10, or 100 or more. Leaders at every level, even those who have very competent assistants helping them, still find themselves beleaguered by all the competes for their time and attention. So it's very important for you to understand that, one, we want to start right where we are. Two, the mess that you face is not necessarily a personal shortcoming as much as it is an indication of our over-information and over-communication environment. We're all in this. So we acknowledge the reality right now. This is the way things are. Maybe it's not exactly how we want them to be, but by and by we're going to take control. Now, if you were to total up all the tasks facing you, big and small, and assign a time frame to each, would you be able to achieve what you have to do in the time you have available? For most people, the answer is no, and it's not even close. So we have to acknowledge that what we're up against either, and this is key, either requires more resources, more time, more energy, or more of something. There's no other way around this. Something's got to give. You either have to have more resources, more time, more energy, or more or something to handle what currently confronts you. If indeed what currently confronts you, when you add up all the time, is so much beyond the time that you have that there's no way you'd ever get to it all. We can't continually be trying to work 70, 80, 90 hour weeks and thinking if we throw our time and our life at all of our problems, somehow, some way, we're going to get caught up. You and I both know that what happens is 70, 80 hours becomes the norm. It goes on week after week, month after month. We don't know what a weekend is anymore, not what it truly is. We don't know what a vacation is anymore. And it becomes a sad situation. Worse, when we throw our time and our energy at everything that confronts us, thinking that somehow we're going to slug through it all, takes a toll on our health and our well-being. So, first off, we have to have either more resources, more time, more energy, or more of something. Since we can't create more time, literally, anybody listening and everybody in the world since time began only gets 168 hours a week, we're going to focus on more resources, more energy, and possibly more of something else. That more of something else is sometimes simply employing our brains in different ways. Engaging our workforce in ways that challenge them. In other words, taking the staff that we already have and devising ways of getting them to be more productive because they see their tasks as a challenge. Sometimes you can get one team competing against another in a friendly way, one employee competing against another. You want to keep it friendly because otherwise the one who's perpetually on the short end of the stick may not feel so good about himself or herself. But challenging your workforce is definitely one way to get more out of your existing resources. In addition, we have equipment. Sometimes we install it, we learn two or three basic functions. It does 15, 18 other things. But we never go beyond the three or four things that we primarily began using it for. We never crack the instruction book again. We never bring in somebody to tell us how we could use item 5, 6, 7, 8 in this wonderful device that we brought in, or feature 5, 6, 7, 8. And so we literally have governors or controls on equipment that could serve us more ably if we were able to break through what actually has become very self-imposed limits. So accessing resources becomes an important point. Now, I talked about how you break down the piles. I referred to how you break down the piles that are all around you. Now I'm going to give you the nitty-gritty of it. Breaking down piles first begins with assembling everything in front of you. When I mean everything, I mean gather up all the stuff around your desk, on tables near your desk. If you've got stuff, you know, around the corners of the room, I don't care how high the pile gets. I call this Operation Clean Sweep. You're going to engage in Operation Clean Sweep first by stacking up everything that represents some kind of task that you need to address, some kind of unfinished business, something that needs to be filed, you name it. Now, this is a little brutal, but it works, and so stay with me here. When you stack up everything that has otherwise populated your desk in the far corners of your office in one huge pile, you now are going to commit to going through that entire pile in a 30, or it's especially large, say higher than a foot, a 40-minute period. And what I want you to do is take the first item, in other words, the item on the top of the pile, assess it for your capability in dealing with it right now. Is it something you can handle right on the fly? Can you make a phone call? Can you mail a letter? Can you scan something? Can you rip it up? Can you mark it and put it someplace else where it's most appropriate, such as a file 2 months from now when you really need to deal with it? Each item that's at the top of your pile in Operation Clean Sweep gets the same type of rigor, if you will. And basically, there are only four things you can do with items when it comes to filing. Here are the four. You can act on the item, ACT, act on the item. You can delegate the item, You can file it for future use, or you can toss it. Hopefully, much of what has gotten into your huge pile, when it appears on the top of the pile, is something you can toss because time has passed, it's no longer relevant, time has passed, and maybe something you did took care of the particular issue. So you want to be able to toss as much as you can. Maybe what looked like it was important at the time, now that you're reviewing it in Operation Clean Sweep and you understand what you're actually up against, hours and hours of tasks that this pile, this huge pile in front of you represents, maybe you can muster the strength to simply chuck it. And I hope that you can. I hope you can chuck much of what's in this huge pile that you've stacked. And I'll tell you why. There will be enough other items of importance that you need to act on, or other items of importance that it makes sense for you to delegate to your staff, or items that have future value. In other words, they're worth filing. Now, what has future value? Well, if something is required for taxes, that is future value. If something is required for an audit or something has to be handed off to some other professional you employ, filing it has future value because it facilitates the smooth operations of your venture. Ideally, you only file items that have future value. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to file anything, if you think about it. Now, I like to file things in accordance with when I need to deal with them, so I set up what's called tickler files. I have one file for January, February, all the way through to December. You can even have a tickler file for days of the month, 1 through 31, short month 30, February 28th, 28 days. I think that's overkill. I think you can have a file system where each month gets its own folder, and if you want to divvy up the month into quarters of a month, say the first day to the 8th, the 9th day to the 16th, the 7th day to the 23rd, 24th day to the 31st, that's fine. Then you park items that you've piled in this Operation Clean Sweep. When they come to the top of the pile, they appear at the top of the pile. You park items in your file in accordance with when you need to deal with them. So that means if an item doesn't have to be touched for another month, you put it in next month's file folder. If it doesn't have to be touched for another week, you put it in next week's file folder. You always give yourself a little slack, and by that I mean if something is due in 3 or 4 days, you don't put it in the file for 3 or 4 days hence. You put it in the file for a couple days before that, so that when you're perusing your file in your file cabinet, you'll see items in a couple days in advance of the need to actually turn them in or complete them, you know, before a deadline. So you're always giving yourself a little slack with these hard copy folders. All right, so back to Operation Clean Sweep. You can, in review, act on the item, and it's always good when you can act on an item right there and then. You can delegate, and it's much better if you can delegate more than you personally need to act on. In other words, you, the boss, the entrepreneur, the manager, the owner, whatever your title happens to be, ideally should only be actually undertaking those tasks that you and you alone must undertake. Anything that you can delegate, you probably ought to delegate. If you have staff that can handle things, thus freeing up your time to devote to those tasks that you and you alone must handle, then by all means, go ahead and delegate. So, the relative sizes of the four categories of what we can do with the things in our pile, ideally, the largest category is the delete pile. You can throw away most. Second largest, perhaps, delegate. Third largest, file. Smallest, or fourth largest, act on. Ideally, you're only acting on the handful of things that you and you alone must act on. Now, as you begin to accumulate a file, or pile if you will, which is much slimmer than your clean sweep pile, which could be as high as a foot, as you begin to accumulate the things that you and you alone must act on, that pile could end up conceivably being 5, 10, 15, 20 items. You would then go through your personal act-on file and arrange them in order of importance. Most important on top, least important on the bottom. If you will proceed through after Operation Clean Sweep on the thinner, more potent file of items representing tasks that you and you alone must act on, with the most important item at the top, you'll be far more productive than any other way of proceeding. All right, so we're proceeding now on the large pile in Operation Clean Sweep, and if something happens to now be at the top of the pile as a result of your taking care of other things that had buried it, and you can't deal with it in the moment, you don't have the mental energy to decide whether to act on it, delegate it, file it, or toss it, I give you permission one time per item to lift up the pile and put that item at the bottom of the pile. So in other words, as you go through this huge pile in front of you that represents everything you've collected from around your desk and office, including post-it pads, business cards, printouts, you name it, if you can't deal with something in the moment, can't even make a decision, once per item, you may put it at the bottom. But when that item now becomes on top again, in other words, when it rises to the top as a result of other items you've either handled or put on the bottom of the pile because you couldn't make a decision on those either, when items appear for the second time, you have to make a decision. So that's the only break that you get in Operation Clean Sweep. And when it comes up for the second time, the decision that you make must be final. No saying, well, no. Act on it in the moment or put it in your smaller building act-on pile. Hand it off to somebody. File it or toss it. Those are your options. All right. Eventually, at the end of 30 minutes or 40, if it's a particularly large pile, you finally get the pile down to almost nothing. Ideally, you get it to nothing. Here are some techniques you can use to facilitate your handling of the items that you've now whittled down. If you have a variety of small items that just represent a business card, a URL, an email address, some snippet of information, and it's easier for you to have that in a dossier packet, and I'll explain what that means in a second. Take all those small items, lay them down on the copier, and hit the copy button, and make one sheet of paper that contains all those small items. Throw away the originals. No need to keep post-it pads and business cards lying all over the place. You now have all that stuff contained on a single sheet of paper. This may seem like an extra step, like an extra piece of work, but what you'll find is the piece of paper that that has the photo image of these collected tidbits is easier to deal with than the tidbits strewn around your office. At least you have them in a manageable pace, place, and space. So you're actually thinning the volume of the materials that you confront. One of the reasons I called my principal book Breathing Space, Living and Working at a Comfortable Pace in a Sped Up Society, instead of calling it something related to time or time management, is that I found if you will control the spaces in your life, including your desk, tables around your desk, filing cabinet, top of your filing cabinet, supply cabinets, if you control the spaces in your business and in your home life, control of your life and time tend to follow. So control of your space is no small issue. The typical entrepreneur The typical entrepreneurial business that I've visited, when I've been in back rooms, when I've been in the boss's office, are strewn with stuff. You know what I'm talking about. If you can keep control of your space, you've got an odds-on chance of making yourself more productive that day, feeling in control by the end of the day, coming back the next day, starting feeling control. And my goodness, it's a wonderful feeling. Even if your perception of control has been raised and nothing else, that is worth the gesture. Perception is an awful lot. How you feel about your office, how you feel about the stuff surrounding you, how you feel about your tasks, whether or not you feel as if you're in control is half the battle of time management. Half the battle. All right. So, that's Operation Clean Sweep. Now I want to turn to what I call the high art of filing. And we've already touched on some of this, so it's going to get easier and easier for you. The true reason for filing, as I mentioned, is that the item you file offers the promise of a more favorable future. So, what do I mean by that? Even if you are filing the most mundane of items, if you need to draw upon them again and you need to be able to find them in a hurry, then your filing is a perfectly appropriate business-enhancing activity. Most entrepreneurs that I've worked with, most entrepreneurs I've spoken to, I've spoken more than 750 times around the country at conferences and conventions, many of those assemblies full of entrepreneurs like yourselves, most of them confess that they hate filing. You probably hate filing. I don't think personally, filing is the all-time greatest activity in which I have ever engaged. But I recognize the power of filing. I recognize that if I file effectively now, I will save time over and over and over again. So filing, however unglamorous it may seem, is a necessary function. Now, I'm not saying you have to be so diligent that you file all the time as soon as stuff comes in. This is the real world. We know that's not going to happen. You get pulled off on assignments. You're out at client site. I mean, stuff happens, okay? We know this. But if you'll pick some times throughout the week, maybe Friday from 3 to 5 when you're otherwise brain dead, maybe some morning when you get in earlier than everybody else, which is probably every morning, but just pick one morning, and devote an hour to filing, you will be amazed at what kind of control you can take from a spatial standpoint alone. So let's not poo-poo filing anymore as something that is, I didn't have to do this. Filing has value. And let's start to also understand that there are filing aids out there we can go use. We can have files that are color-coded. We can use different tabs that have different colors. We can have green files for money. We can have red files for hot issues. We can have blue files for projects we put on ice. We can have yellow files for stuff we're afraid to touch. I mean, use the colors however you will. If you've ever walked into your dentist's office and they have the kind of office where the patient files are actually visible, and in many cases this is true. Even today, when so many things are scanned and resting on somebody's hard drive in their computer, there are still very visible patient files because there's a convenience factor to be able to pull charts and x-rays and so forth. Well, those dental files, those patient files in a dental office are always, always, always color-coded, at least with the tabs. There's purples and there's oranges and there's yellows and so on. Go to a Staples or an Office Max or an Office Depot or any office store across America or throughout the world and walk down the aisle of file-enhancing tools. There is so much today that can help you find things faster and easier. There are also conventions I'm going to mention right now that you can use in terms of labeling your files. that will speed you on your way to finding things that will save you time throughout the day, the week, the month, the year, and your whole career. For example, who says that your file folder labels have to be conventional? Taxes, insurance, equipment. You can also have files that say things such as check next month or review after we land such and such client or review in the first quarter. In other words, you can create labels for your file folders that have names that uniquely respond to the way you work, act, and think. You can have a file folder that says, you know, review on a rainy day, or review in a month, or chuck. That's an excellent one. All that stuff that comes in looks interesting. You don't know exactly what to do with it. Park it for a while. If you haven't looked at it in a month, then out it goes. Or look at it after 1 month and then chuck most of it. Retain only the handful of things that still appear to have some value. Now, you can have files, of course, based on client names, but you can also have files based on employee names. We mentioned months of the year, weeks of the month. You can get very, very creative in terms of your hard copy filing. The same goes true to your online or your on-computer filing. In other words, the files that you keep, whether they're called folders, directories, bookmarks, depends on what software you're using. But essentially, I'm going to use the word files because that's the generic term. The files that you maintain on your computer can also have names that support the way you work, you think, you operate. I like to give a 01, 02, 03 moniker before file name. So if I have employees, instead of them necessarily lining up based on the first letter of their first name or the first letter of their last name, I may have an employee who's very important and I want that person in the first position. So I may say 01 Tom Grandy. I may have 02 Jeff Davidson. I may have 03 somebody else. In other words, by using 01 or 001, you can overcomplicate this. 01 will work all the way up to 10 or 20 or whatever the number happens to be. You can have your file folders align in the order in which you most regularly draw upon materials on those file folders sitting on your hard drive. Same thing goes for file folders in your email file structure or anything else you may have online, such as Google Docs or what have you. By using a numerical system, you can have those files line up exactly the way you want them. Now, one of the beauties of filing things on your computer or filing things online is that you always have the opportunity to merge, purge, rename, update, move around, slide here, slide there. And let's face it, in this day and age when most of us are using email almost as a default management tool, it shouldn't be, but it becomes almost a default management tool, at least we have the option to slide things around, rename them, delete them when appropriate, with, you know, just the mouse and your hand, your wrist, or if you're using a notebook computer, just sliding the touch plate. So the long and short is there's really no excuse for not being organized on your PC, online. Again, all it takes is the recognition of the importance of filing. It's not glamorous, but it is a tremendous time saver. Yes, we spend some time and energy up front on some tasks that otherwise may seem mundane, but the power of doing this is the payoff. The payoff comes over and over again when we know how to easily find materials that we filed. Now, of course, online you have various search capabilities depending on what kind of software you're using. There are various find capabilities, keyword searches, and so forth. So it just gets easier and easier if we use these materials and we use this equipment the way it was designed to be used. Once again, You have to carve out some time throughout the day or the week to do this. I will sometimes sit at my PC. I still use a desktop computer because I find this the most easy. I find this the easiest way for me to proceed. I will take 20 minutes here and there throughout the day to do nothing but file the email that has come in and those I've sent out, slide them into the appropriate folders, stay on top of this system, keep checking what I ought to be looking at, keep renaming things as situations change or I figure out a better way to do this. And in the course of the week, I imagine I probably spent at least 2 hours, maybe three, doing nothing but updating file folders on my hard drive, on my email tree. And it is worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. And you know, no one else can come in and do this for you. I mean, it would be great if they could. The reality is, we all have to be our own information managers, our own directors of information, especially as owners running the business, where many times we're the chief cook and bottle washer. We're taking care of so much all the time. Well, filing is one of the tools that pays off over and over again. All right, let's turn to another item that I mentioned of the crucial elements of taking control of our environment, because when we take control of the spaces in our business, in our home lives, in our trucks, in our vehicles, glove compartment, trunk, hideaway, you name it, gym locker, I don't care what space you're talking about. When you take control of that space, perceptually at the least, you feel as if you have greater control of your time and your life. But from a management standpoint, you actually do have greater control of your time and your life. All right, so managing the beforehand is the next issue I referred to. When you set up files that have creative names that uniquely serve your purposes, you're actually practicing what I call managing beforehand. And managing beforehand is nothing more than anticipating the needs of your business by department or division, by client, however you want to divvy it up, and setting up space to accommodate the paraphernalia, the documentation, the equipment, the data, whatever goes along with serving that client, or whatever goes along with that issue or that project or that task, so you can manage it easily. Now, I'll give you an analogy outside of the business. Suppose you belong to a health club someplace, play racquetball, basketball, jog, whatever it happens to be. And your particular health club has a locker room, as most do. And if you pay an extra amount per year, $20, $30, $40, $50, might be $60 or more, you can have a permanent locker within your health club, within the locker room. So, what would Jeff Davidson advise? Would I say to go ahead and pay that extra money and get that locker, or save the money and just make do? Well, because of the way I set up the situation, you already know what the answer is. The answer is I say get the locker. Why? 100% of the time that you come to the gym, you know your sneakers are already there. That's one thing you don't have to carry perpetually every time you come for a workout, because your sneakers are in the locker. Now, you may have to rotate some items. Obviously, you work out, get very sweaty, you've got to wash stuff and so forth, but there are supplies you can keep in that gym locker that you use over and over again. They don't run out all that soon. So anything you can keep, 2, 3, 4 pairs of socks, a couple extra t-shirts, shorts, what have you, toiletries, items for the shower, anything that fits in that locker and frees you up from having to bring it in, and even more so than that, frees you up for having to even think about it, is worth it. That is managing the beforehand. Now, you can take that same model, the gym locker, and apply that to the glove compartment of your car or truck. Apply that to the trunk. Apply that to your desk drawers, to your shelves, to the tables around you. What do you need to have where? What do you need because you use it so frequently that it pays to just leave it in place or even have multiples of it, copies? What do you not use as often that can be further from you? I maintain that your desk ought to be the center of your work-related universe. And what I mean by that is the things that you use most often should be closest, in other words, in reach. Just like when you throw a pebble into a pond and those concentric circles just keep expanding outward and outward and outward. You want to have the next circle of stuff be a little further from reach that you use a little less frequently, and so on till you get to the point where you have stuff in a supply cabinet or someplace completely away from your desk because you use it once a week or less. So if you use it every day, it probably belongs, and multiple times a day, probably belongs on your desk. If you use it a couple times a week, it probably belongs in your desk. If you use it maybe once a week, it belongs maybe close by your desk. If you use it less than once a week, now we're talking about getting up and walking over to some other space. If you use it less than 2 weeks, once every 2 weeks or once every month, then it can be further still. So managing beforehand means thinking through your work environments as well as your personal environments. What do you need where? What do you need in abundance because you use it all the time? What do your people need out in the field? What does your sales staff need? What does your administrative staff need? You want to walk through every aspect of the business and manage the beforehand, which means, once again, just like filing, spending some time up front. Time that's not glamorous. Time that you'd rather perhaps be doing something else, but now recognizing the power of having this stuff in place that's going to pay off over and over and over again because you took the time up front. The small time up front, comparatively speaking, to the payoff of having those items in place over and over and over again. And I have to tell you that managing beforehand shows up in many other ways, not just in terms of overall time savings, effective time management. It shows up in terms of your being on top of your game when you're in front of clients or prospects, when staff come into your office, when vendors deal with you, when people come into the operation. The entrepreneur, the contractor who's able to manage the beforehand sends a message of competence, relatively speaking, sends a message of competence out to everybody that also pays off, sometimes equally as much as the time management benefits that accrue. So I want you to get into this habit, just like you're going to get into the habit of filing, because we're in an age where, let's be frank once again, more stuff is coming. More stuff's coming in the mail, more stuff is coming in email. If you still have a fax machine, more faxes are coming over the line. People are going to come into your office, shipments, delivery, equipment, old parts, spare parts. Stuff is coming. We know this to be true. We want to anticipate as effective managers and manage the beforehand as opposed to dealing with the aftermath, which is what 9 out of 10 of the entrepreneurs in your industry do. They deal with the aftermath of all this stuff coming in, all the mail, all the email, the delivery, the equipment, the parts, the spare parts, the old parts, and they let stuff stack up, they let stuff, you know, turn into piles, they put things in a corner, they let dust collect, and by and large, all the space they had gets used up, and then they think, oh my goodness, where did the space go? Well, it's still there. It's exactly the same as when you first moved in. So I want you to manage beforehand as opposed to deal with the aftermath of being in our information and overload society. And the great news is you have this capability. Just like you're listening to programs every month and getting good tips on a variety of topics, you're a forward-thinking type of entrepreneur, this is well within your capability. And the good news is when it comes to managing beforehand, you can have staff help you here. They can help you maintain the appropriate supplies, especially commodity items that are small. You use them over and over again. There's not a huge cost. The downtime if something is not available is just not worth it. I'd rather have dozens and dozens of batteries than run out, have no batteries, and then have to go to the store, flag down someplace. There's stuff I'd rather have in abundance than have none of or be down to my last one. So you can get help on this one. All right, now let's turn to another of our crucial concepts here that is not your father's time management, because the world has changed. The amount of info that competes for your time and attention greatly exceeds the time you have in a day. So we've talked about the importance of starting where you are. We've talked about the importance of Operation Clean Sweep, piling it all up, making decisions, filing, hard copy filing, on computer filing, online filing. We talked about managing the beforehand, and now we turn our attention to mastering completion thinking. Here's how completion thinking works. First, we need to understand that the human brain appreciates closure. It appreciates clean endings to activities. When you wake up in the morning, whether it was good sleep or bad, you have completed sleep for the night. When you get into work, you've completed getting into work. When you make that first phone call, you completed that first phone call. When you send off a letter, you've completed that letter. All right, all well and good. Completion thinking, however, can occur for the largest of projects, for the smallest of tasks, for an idea, for a thought, for an activity. In other words, everything you do throughout the course of a day can benefit from completion thinking. Now, what is completion thinking? It is giving yourself acknowledgement for anything that you do. When you have the wherewithal to recognize the importance of giving yourself acknowledgement. As an example, when I complete this sentence in a couple seconds, I will be complete with this sentence. No big deal, right? But if I give myself a completion, which is silent self-acknowledgement, I, Jeff Davidson, just completed this sentence. Then I begin again. I have more focus, more energy, and more direction for what's next. Suppose you're working at serving one particular client. It's a huge job, and you finish. You've dotted the I's, you crossed the T's, you sent off the bill. Now is the time to give yourself a completion. You mentally sit back in the truck or sit back in your office, sit back wherever you happen to be. I, say your name, have completed this project, this installation, this task for the client. Pause, soak it in. You've now set up a mental partition in your brain that gives you more energy, more focus, and more direction for what's next. Now, I'll give you an example that I use when people are listening to me at a conference or convention. Suppose you're signed up for several sessions and you sit in on session A. It ends and you decide to ask the instructor a question. The instructor goes on and on for a while, but it's a worthwhile answer. Now you're a little late for session B. You rush down the hall, you're panting, you get into the room, you can barely find a seat, you sit down, and it's a couple minutes before you're actually there. You're actually acclimated to the new surroundings. That's the non-completion way of proceeding. Now let's walk through the same scenario with the completion way of proceeding. You're in session A. The session ends, you mentally acknowledge yourself for having stayed there the whole time. You now walk up to the instructor, ask a question. Give yourself a completion for asking the question. The instructor answers it, goes on and on, but it's a worthwhile answer. Give yourself a completion for having received the answer. Walk down the hall, come to the next session, session B. Acknowledge yourself for having walked down the hall. You have another completion. Look into the room, find a seat, sit down in that seat. Acknowledge yourself for having found a seat. And guess what? When you look up, you are right there from the first second on. No need to go through a couple minutes of adjustment. All those completions that you gave yourself have set you up so that you can be in attendance from the first second on, fully aware, fully alert. So it is with every aspect of your business. Completion thinking as often as you possibly can, especially late in the day. It's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever. You want to have more energy for the evening. Completion thinking. When you leave the office, you leave the client's location, you leave the truck, whatever happens to be for the evening, you give yourself a completion. You actually can be a spouse or a partner. You can actually be a father or mother to your kids. You can actually have a life for the rest of the day. Completion thinking will do that for you. It is a wonderful, wonderful time management enhancement tool, because when you give yourself the completion and set up the mental partition in your brain, the focus that you have for the next task means you start off sooner at a more appropriate level, and you actually find yourself being more productive throughout the day. Now, I happen to be the author of 56 books, and that's a lot, probably 53 more than anybody ever ought to write, but I did write 56. People ask me, well, how could you possibly do that? Every chapter was a completion. Even sections of chapters were a completion. I could have never written even one book unless I stopped and acknowledged myself for how far I had gone. Otherwise, the project would be daunting. 300-400 hours per book, 200 pages. Heck, I didn't even like to write term papers in high school, and now I'm writing 200- and 300-page books. Completions, completions, completions. In your business, every aspect of the day can be something for which you will benefit if you'll give yourself a completion. Even when stuff goes badly, be complete and move on. All right, we come now to the last issue that I mentioned at the top of the show, which was, if you've got so many tasks and activities piled up that there's no way that what confronts you, that you can handle what confronts you, you're going to have more resources or more help or more something. We're going to talk about those more resources right now. And a lot of people think, okay, resources, that's time, that's money, that's equipment, that's staff. Yeah, those are fundamental resources. Can't make any more time. More staff costs money. Equipment costs money. But what are the kinds of resources as entrepreneurs we can draw upon day in and day out that don't literally cost us anything, because indeed we are drawing upon our resources to a greater degree? Remember when I mentioned using equipment beyond the 3 or 4 functions that you first learned, when the equipment indeed can go on for 17 more, but you've only gone to 3 or 4, and for you, there is nothing else. Well, as it turns out, there are other kinds of resources all around your office. When is the last time you looked at the resumes or job application forms of the staff you now have on hand? Because you know what? They've got resources you haven't drawn upon. Some of them know how to operate software or equipment or machinery. Some of them know other languages. Some of them know things that you can use in your business, and you haven't drawn upon them yet. some of the resources we can draw on sometimes result from being a member of an association, of a trade group, a civic group. Sometimes those groups have boilerplate materials we can draw upon, print materials, web resources, FAQs, frequently answered questions. Sometimes there are networks that we can join where we can get support from others who do what we do but don't directly compete with us, maybe because they're three states away. So the computer becomes a resource and the social networking sites become resources. How often do we draw upon them? Sometimes your local librarian becomes a resource. If you have to have the answer to a question, do you know that you can call your local librarian in your city and at their reference desk they will help you to find an answer to something if you can't find it yourself, and that you're already paying for this service through tax dollars? So what I'm saying is, when you look around your company, you look through your own computer, you look through the resumes and job applications of the staff you already have on hand, you look at some of the things you've filed over the years, you look at the clients you've worked with, the successes that you've had, the things that you can build upon. Very often, the number of resources that we have starts to stack up. I mean, in this day and age, even focus is a resource. If you can eliminate distractions, and here again, distractions are just a terrible bugaboo that diminishes the effectiveness of everybody in the industry. If you have the ability to go someplace where it's quiet, away from the phones, away from the buzzers and beepers and bells, whatever else competes for your attention, and give yourself a half hour or an hour of clear focus, undisturbed, so you can do the breakthrough kinds of thinking that lead your venture to higher ground, especially when you're going to be adding to some service you're already offering, a new way of doing something, installing new systems, installing new ways of doing things, using staff more effectively, serving customers in novel ways. When you have a clear hour to think through your plan, that is a resource that many entrepreneurs don't get in a week, a month, or a year. They try to do it on the fly. They try to do it surrounded by all manner of distraction. So hereafter, I want you to begin to look for the resources that lie in your files, that are right in front of you around the office, that are embedded in the equipment that you already own, that are within the employees who will already come in and work for you, you're already paying, and you will find resources. All right, to summarize, time management is a continuing issue for each of us because the game has changed, because so much competes for our time and attention. We need to continue to apply ourselves in ways that ensure we are most productive, most effective day in and day out. We are the backbones of our own businesses, and our effectiveness matters a whole heck of a lot. The more that we can draw from ourselves without depleting ourselves, the better managers, the more profitable entrepreneurs we can be. It's been my pleasure to present this time management session for you. If you want to ask me any questions personally, send to jeff@breathingspace.com. That's jeff@breathingspace.com. And I'll try to answer each and every one of you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963, or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next time, remember, invest your time, and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.